So our next presenter is Genevieve Plant, and she'll be discussing high-density lipoproteins and binder of sperm proteins, a new piece of the puzzle in mirroring sperm capacitation.
Okay, so thank you. I just want to start by saying thank you to the CSR for inviting us non-McGill folks to this research day. It's very fun every year. And thank you for allowing me to present my data. What I'm going to show today is what I've been working on for the past 5 months. So it's very new data. I've never presented them before. So if you have any questions, comments, critics, it's going to be very, very welcome. So I come from a lab where we work on a family of proteins called the binder of sperm proteins. It's a family of proteins that are ubiquitous amongst mammals. They were first identified in the bovine, and they're expressed exclusively in the male genital tract, either in seminal vesicles or the epididymis. And they are known to bind to sperm membranes and are implicated in many, many different steps of the fertilization from what we know, but they're mainly implicated in sperm capacitation. So we also know that they can be implicated in sperm motility, viability, and the formation of the sperm reservoir. What they all have in common is their structure. They possess two fibronectin type 2 domains in tandem, and they have a variable N-terminus and C-terminus tails. My project is mainly on human and murine BSP proteins. The reason is that we discovered very recently that BSP proteins are expressed in human and in the murine model. And they're expressed only in the epididymis, whereas the previous proteins we had studies were expressed by seminal vesicles. Compared to farm animals, where BSP represent a very high percentage of proteins in seminal plasma, in mouse and human, they represent a very small quantity of the proteins of seminal plasma. And in mouse, you can find two proteins, BSPH1, BSPH2, and that will be the focus of the talk today. And in human, you can find only one protein, which is BSPH1. And it's interesting to know that BSPH1 in mouse and human are orthologous proteins. What we know about their function, before I started in the lab, we didn't know much. But what we did is, since the protein quantity in seminal plasma is very low, we could not purify them directly from seminal plasma. So we produced recombinant proteins and studied their function. So what we did is we incubated sperm with increasing concentration of recombinant proteins, whether it was from mouse or from human, and we observed for BSPH1 in mouse and human that there was a dose-dependent increase in the level of sperm capacitation when we incubated with recombinant proteins. But we did not see that with BSPH2 in mouse, which suggests possibly another role for BSPH2 in sperm function. So before I started my experiments 5 months ago, all we knew was that if you take recombinant proteins and you add them to sperm, you can cause a dose-dependent increase in capacitation. However, you use doses that are not biological concentrations. So we wanted to go really further and look at the native proteins which are added in the epididymis. So just before I go further, what is capacitation? Because I'm talking about capacitation since the beginning of the talk. It's one of the main steps of fertilization, but it's not well understood. It is necessary for sperm to undergo acrosome reaction and for the sperm to interact with oocytes. We know it takes place in the female genital tract, and it can require factors such as HDL, GAGs, or albumin. And we know that it can be induced in vitro using capacitating factors such as HDL and bovine serum albumin. It is not very well understood. However, we know that it is associated with different modifications such as cholesterol efflux, internal pH increase in membrane fluidity, motility, and an increase in tyrosine phosphorylation. So to go back at the more native step of our experiments, what we did is we used antibodies that are specific against BSP proteins in mouse. And what we see is that if we incubate sperm with albumin, you see an increase in sperm capacitation. However, if you add antibodies and you see a dose-dependent decrease in the level of sperm capacitation induced by albumin. So that was very interesting. We had three theories on how this could be possible. The first explanation we had was that antibodies against BSPH1 are so bulky that they prevent albumin action on sperm, so albumin cannot reach the sperm membrane to remove cholesterol and phospholipid because the antibodies are so big. Although, since the quantity of antibody versus the quantity of albumin we use, albumin we use 3 milligrams per ml, whereas the antibodies we use about 8 micrograms, this did not seem like the best explanation. Another explanation we had was that there would be a specific interaction of albumin with our BSP protein, and that's how, by blocking the with the antibodies, you didn't see this interaction with albumin. However, we've never seen, when we do our experiments, any interaction between between albumin and BSP proteins, so this did not seem as a right explanation. The last explanation we had was that antibodies can bind two different sites. So what we thought is that antibodies could bind different BSP proteins, BSP proteins binding to PC on sperm membranes, and this would stabilize the membrane further, so that even if albumin can remove phospholipid and cholesterol, antibody and BSP stabilize the membrane, which prevent further steps of sperm capacitation and acrosome reaction. And that was our main explanation, but we wanted to test this further. So we used digestion of the antibodies to produce Fabs, so only one antigen-binding domain, or Fabs2, which has the two antigen-binding domains. And we used these for the same experiments. So what we expected was if Fabs were inhibiting, then it would be a specific interaction between albumin and BSPH1. If there was no inhibition, it was either explanation one, antibodies are too bulky, or three, for antibody forming a network. And by using Fabs2, which has a two antigen binding site, if there was inhibition, it was explanation three, the network. And if there was no inhibition, then it was more the antibodies are too bulky because the Fabs are way smaller than an antibody. So what we observed by using these was that with Fabs, we did not see any decrease in the level of sperm capacitation, so that suggested option one or two. But when we used Fabs2, we saw a decrease similar to what we see when we use antibodies. So the formation of the network stabilizing the sperm membrane was the primary hypothesis we went on with. Then we know with BSP and the bovine species that HDL is very important to capacitate sperm. So we wanted to see if in mouse it was also the case. So we know that HDL with murine sperm can cause a dose-dependent increase in tyrosine phosphorylation, which is linked with capacitation. And we tested in the lab also the ability of sperm to undergo acrosome reaction when incubated with different dose of HDL. And you can see that sperm can capacitate and undergo acrosome reaction after incubation with HDL. So we tested exactly the same experiments with Fabs and antibodies using HDL instead of BSA. What we saw was a dose-dependent decrease in the level of sperm capacitation by incubation with Fabs2, but also with Fabs alone, so only one antigen-binding site. So that suggested that HDL could induce capacitation, but via an interaction with BSPH1. And we tested this with another method by testing whether it can affect tyrosine phosphorylation. And what we can see is that if we incubate with HDL alone, we see an increase in tyrosine phosphorylation, but by adding Fabs or by adding BSPH1 antibodies, you can see that there is a difference in the level of tyrosine phosphorylation. So we can decrease tyrosine phosphorylation, which is, as I said, associated with capacitation. In the bovine, what we know is that BSP proteins can cause capacitation by interacting with HDL because HDL removes the BSP that are bound to sperm surface, and this causes a cholesterol and phospholipid efflux, so that BSP are removed from sperm membrane. So we wanted to know, if we incubate our sperm with HDL, do we see a decrease in the amount of BSP proteins that are still bound to sperm surface? So that is what we tested next. And so with different dose of HDL, we did not see any changes in the amount of BSP proteins that are bound to sperm. So this suggested two things. Either sperm are not, BSP are not removed from sperm surface during capacitation or incubation with HDL, or the amount of BSP that is removed is so low that we cannot detect it by Western blot. So based on all of these observations, we came with a proposed model for the moment, which is that sperm are incubated in the epididymis with BSP proteins, and they coat the surface of the membrane to protect the movement of the phospholipids, and it stabilizes the membrane. Following ejaculation, it reaches the oviduct, where it can interact with oviductal fluid components, such as HDL. And HDL, by interacting directly with BSPH1, could either remove BSPH1 from the membrane, but as we saw, we don't see really a decrease, or what we think is maybe BSP proteins, which are localized in regions of the sperm that are highly contain a high amount of proteins implicated in capacitation, could act as a docking molecule to recruit HDL at a certain sites on sperm surface to get it closer to other proteins, which would remove cholesterol or start the cascades of tyrosine phosphorylation. So we are still investigating this model by looking whether there is a cholesterol efflux from sperm membrane and whether proteins of the BSP in mouse are localized in lipid rafts, which are highly containing capacitating proteins. But I guess we are also working on producing knockout mice, so this will give us the best idea of what's going on with the BSP proteins, whether they're really important in sperm capacitation or not. So I'd just like to say thank you, and I'm willing to answer any questions.
Thank you. I'm wondering whether on the human side there's any evidence that links possible mutations in BSP1, since you only have one gene, to infertility. Of course, those are difficult studies to do.
Yeah. What we know is there are a lot of SNPs and mutations that have been identified in the BSPH1 gene. We have seen about 7 that could be of importance, causing truncated proteins, proteins that would not be expressed at all, mutations in the signal peptide, but we're still investigating whether there would be a link between those mutations and infertile patients.
Thanks.
Thank you for the talk. What do you think is the interaction module between the BSPH1 and HDL? Would it be directly through domains or whatever, or indirectly?
I would have no idea. As I'm saying, just by blocking with FABs, you see that there is a decrease in capacitation. Because we take sperm from the epididymis, we don't add any other proteins. So if there are complexes, they would be already formed. So by incubating with FABs or antibodies, we would not be displacing any proteins that would interact with BSPH1 that could be interacting with HDL. So this could suggest a direct interaction, but we've never tested it. As to what part of the protein binds to HDL, we do know that it interacts directly with HDL in other species, but we don't know exactly which domain or which part of the protein interacts yet.